for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Friday morning, January 7th, 2011. You're listening to Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Teresa Tomeo, the program produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan. And we're one of many proud affiliates of the EWTN Network. We have a dynamic show for you today, as we always do. Coming up, the one, the only, Brian Patrick from the Sunrise Morning Show is going to be joining us and giving us an idea of what's coming up next week on that fabulous Morning Drive radio program. And then we're going to check in with Janet Miranda from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Then we'll wrap up a Friday morning with Brian Gale. Brian, of course, the author of a terrific book that actually was really shaking things up and letting people know about the problems with contraception, the fallout from it over the years. His first book, Fatherless, the second one in the special trilogy, is called Motherless, and he's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Again, that's Brian Gale. 877-573-7825 is our toll-free number if you have a question for any of our guests, and we'd love to have you take part in the program as we always do. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Without further ado, let's go to Cincinnati and talk with my good friend Brian Patrick. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, this is the other Brian. I did get a chance to talk to Brian Gale about Motherless and Fatherless, by the way.
Good.
Great author, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic, really raising the bar in terms of helping people understand the fallout from contraception.
Yeah, and there are so many issues that are addressed in both of these books. He's going to have a third called Childless, which will take place in the future, so that'll be interesting. How has your week been?
It's been really good. I came back with a little bit of a cold, but otherwise I'm fine. I mean, everybody's asking me, do you have jet lag? You know, I really don't get a lot of jet lag. As long as I get a good night's sleep, the night I arrive back or the day I arrive back, I'm fine and raring to go. I could not wait to get on the air Wednesday morning and talk about my experience. And thank you for allowing me to have a little extra time on Monday. I really enjoyed that.
Well, we always love to hear from you, especially when you're in the middle of Rome with Dominic and just surrounded by such great treasures of our church. We always love having you on the Sunrise Morning Show, and I know you'll be with us on Monday, too, right?
I will. I'm looking forward to that. And what is coming up on the Sunrise Morning Show next week?
We're going to talk about how the Church goes about approving Marian apparitions with our catechist, Rich Leonardi. Also, we'll discuss with Art Kirby from Catholic Relief Services what the Church is doing in Sudan as their referendums begin next week. You know that that's a really tough part of the world right now, and the Church is very actively involved there. Mm-hmm. And from Crossing the Goal, my friend Danny Abramowitz, a former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach in the NFL, we continue to look at the NFL playoffs that begin this weekend, and we always connect those with Danny's spiritual workout of a former saint, so we look forward to that.
A lot of fun, a lot of things coming up, and I'm looking forward to being with you on Monday morning, and a lot of things I'd like to speak with you about. There's some thoughts that keep coming to me. You know, once you get back from a pilgrimage, and I know you've been to Rome, but once you come back, it takes a while for things to kind of, you know, to come back to you because it's so overwhelming when you're there. And as I said to you on Monday, even though I've been there, I don't know, 10 or 11 times, every time I go, I learn a little bit something new about our faith. So I'll have some little nuggets for you on Monday.
You know, I want to talk a little politics with you, too. What do you think of this Michael Daley being named the chief of staff at D.C.?
I don't know. The whole thing is so crazy. And I wanted to talk to you about, too. We should do a segment, and I was thinking about this. I thought about you last night. I was watching Fox News, and I wanted to talk to you about this whole controversy with NPR from a standpoint of now they're saying they're going to put on a whole new, they're going to have balance. They didn't realize they needed balance before. This is a new thing to them. Apparently there was an outside investigation when the commentator was fired from Fox News. I'd like to get your perspective. You and I, with all of our years combined in broadcasting, I think this is important to let people know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, we have great wisdom, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Just in
well,
this
let
area.
Me tell you what we do have. We do have, you know, the school of, what is it, Hard Knocks? Both of us have been in the secular media for so long.
School of Hard Knocks. Yeah. I was raised in that school. I have a diploma from it.
Yeah, me too. I have a PhD.
Yeah. Always topping me, Teresa. Hey, it's always great to chat with you. I hope you have a really blessed day.
You too, Brian, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday morning.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. God bless.
Brian Patrick, of course, the host of the Sunrise Morning Show, and I'll be joining him Monday morning, as I always do, about 7 o'clock Eastern time. Right now, though, it's just about 4.5 minutes past the hour. Let's check our news on Friday, January 7th, 2011. reports, this is breaking news from the wire services around the country and the world, that a section of the Dulles International Airport outside of D.C. has been evacuated due to a suspicious package. CNN reporting that package brought to the attention of airport authorities. The report says a package was discovered in the terminal where United Airlines is located. And as the Magi saw God's path by following the light of the star, Christians today find their way by the light of sacred scriptures. That's a quote from the Holy Father talking to a large crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square yesterday. Holy Father making his remarks following the celebration of Mass for the solemnity of the Epiphany. Epiphany, of course, as we discussed with Steve Ray yesterday on this very program, recalling the biblical story of the three kings, the Oriental kings, who followed the star to Bethlehem to adore the newborn baby Jesus. In his homily at the Mass, the Holy Father saying the image of the Magi should remind believers to seek direction in life through meditation and prayer. Now, my producer, Andrew, before we hit the national hour this morning, also sent me this really interesting story, which was going into a little bit more depth about the Holy Father's homily yesterday. A beautiful story. And listen to this. This is about the universe. No accident. God's mind was behind complex scientific theories such as the Big Bang, and Christians should reject the idea that the universe came into being by accident. Here's a quote from the Holy Father. The universe is not the result of chance, as some would want to make us believe. Contemplating it, the universe, we are invited to read something profound into it, the wisdom of the Creator, the inexhaustible creativity of God. This is just so perfect. I mean, this is Benedict. I mean, this is just so coincidental, Benedict. I love it. But this is the thing that I don't understand. How can anybody think that the Earth, the world, the universe is accidental? It really is kind of a silly and ignorant statement to make if you look at the detail of the universe and the beauty and the depth and the, I don't know, but I love this. Benedict says, scientific theories on the origin and development of the universe and humans, while not in conflict with faith, left many questions unanswered. In the beauty of the world, in its mystery, in its greatness, and in its rationality, we can only let ourselves be guided toward God, creator of heaven and earth. I don't have time to read the whole report, but it's really quite beautiful. And this one particular story is posted on Yahoo News, and it's also a story that was released through the Reuters News Service, if you want to check it out. So again, the Holy Father is saying, guess what? Hello, universe, no accident. In other news this morning, abstinence education advocates commenting on the 6% drop in the U.S. teen birth rate in 2009, the lowest on record. According to CitizenLink, Valerie Huber, president of the National Abstinence Education Association, says the impact of abstinence until marriage education cannot be ignored. She told the Washington Post, these trends show that the risk avoidance message of abstinence has sticking power for today's young people. The reading of the Constitution on the floor of the House interrupted yesterday by a loud shout from an apparent member of the birther movement. Now, this movement contending that the president was born over in Kenya and is not actually eligible for the White House. House Majority Leader John Boehner telling NBC's Today show this morning he can't stop others from feeling that way if they want to.
And people come, with, regardless of party labels, they come with all kinds of beliefs and ideas. It's the melting pot of America. It's not up to me to tell them what to think.
Yesterday's interruption came as Democrat Frank Pallone of New Jersey read Section 1 of Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, stating no person, of course, except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the U.S. at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. After the outburst, the Sergeant of Arms is called in to have the person removed from the House gallery. Debate is set today in the House on repealing the health care reform law. Republicans are taking aim at the measure, with new GOP House Speaker John Boehner saying it's been overwhelmingly rejected by American voters. He called it a job-killing bill and said the best health care system in the world will go down the drain if it's not repealed. But repeal efforts are expected to go nowhere in the Democratic-controlled Senate. A resolution cutting congressional budgets by 5% has been easily approved by the House. Kentucky Republican Harold Rogers calling it an important first step toward fiscal sanity.
Our budget acts will swing wide and true, and no area of the federal government will be immune from our scrutiny and cuts. Sacred cows are, for all intents and purposes, extinct.
He chairs the House Appropriations Committee. Republicans saying cutting budgets on House operations will save about $35 million this year alone. Republicans taking over control of the House this week in their first legislative action. They pushed through new House rules requiring that any bill be accompanied by a statement explaining how it meets constitutional requirements. Medicaid reform overwhelmingly passing the General Assembly yesterday. The bipartisan effort largely driven by the budget crisis. Reforms will cut 2% of overall program spending at an estimated saving of nearly $800 million over the next 5 years. The Senate sponsor, Heather Steens, a Democrat from Chicago, says new income limits will make some children currently on Medicaid ineligible.
You know, we're putting in an income limit for the first time, so that's going to have some people from an all-kids program who are no longer eligible.
Now, this change will also move mentally and physically disabled people from long-term care facilities to group homes that cost less. The U.S. is sending an additional Marine group to Afghanistan. As Daniel Renches tells us, the Pentagon says the move is designed to consolidate gains against insurgent groups.
A year ago, President Obama approved an increase of 30,000 troops in Afghanistan, and recently the U.S. has reported fragile progress. The Defense Department also has the leeway to deploy an additional 3,000 troops if necessary, and has now decided to send 1,400 Marines for the purpose of consolidating gains and applying additional pressure on insurgents. Fighting normally increases in the spring as temperatures in mountainous areas rise, but the U.S. is also expected to begin reducing troop numbers in July. Daniel Renches, Washington.
An investigation is underway into two packages that ignited at state government buildings in the state of Maryland. State Fire Marshal William Barnard said each of the devices look like book parcels.
When the individual that received the package began to open the package, it produced a puff of smoke. They dropped the package. The evacuation of the building began.
And he said the packages were not considered bombs because they did not contain explosives. There was no return address on the packages, which will be turned over to the FBI's crime lab. Maryland State Police say both packages appear to have gone through the U.S. Postal Service, and one that was opened was addressed to Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. One was discovered at the Department of Transportation office in Hanover. The other found at the Jeffrey State Office Building in Annapolis. Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke returning to Capitol Hill today. He is set to testify about the economy in a Senate hearing. His testimony will follow release of the December jobless report by the Labor Department. National unemployment rate edged up to 9.8% in November. In the meantime, the president addressing the new jobless report and the overall economy. He'll do that after touring a manufacturing plant today in Maryland. And after taking much criticism for the way the city handled last week's blizzard, Mayor Michael Bloomberg wasting no time in announcing plans to deal with an expected 2 to 6 inch snowfall on Friday. This time, the mayor says he hopes to have more information from the outer boroughs.
One of the biggest problems that hindered our response last week was that we didn't have as much information as possible about our snow clearing operations. And that created a discrepancy between the information coming into and out of City Hall and what people were actually experiencing on the streets, which understandably led to a lot of confusion and frustration.
To combat that, Bloomberg saying GPS devices have now been installed on sanitation trucks in the areas of Brooklyn, which was hardest hit by last week's storm. Also, scout teams will be sent out with video cameras to relay live pictures to the command center so snow removal crews can be deployed to where they are needed most. The mayor says a new EMS dispatcher has been named to help get ambulances to those most in need. It is just about 13 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Up next, Janet Miranda from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and Priests for Life. Stay tuned.
The College of St. Mary Magdalene is a residential Catholic liberal arts college located in Warner, New Hampshire. The college seeks through rigorous study and its vibrantly Catholic student life to call our students to the lifelong pursuit of intellectual and moral virtue, following Christ, who's the source of all virtue. Ask in December about our academic full tuition presidential scholarship in honor of Pope Benedict. The College of St. Mary Magdalene, thriving in the light of truth. Come and see the difference at www.magdalene.edu.
Is financial stress keeping you awake at night? Are you struggling to pay your bills? Are you facing the loss of your home? The law offices of Kasaba Rabo PLC are attorneys who specialize in bankruptcy, short sales, debt settlement without filing for bankruptcy, and foreclosures. Don't wait until it's too late. Give your family the relief they deserve. Call Andrew or Olivia today. They're both devout Catholics, educated in Catholic schools, including Catholic law schools. Kasaba Rabo PLC is a family-owned law firm. And when you work with them, you're part of the family. You'll receive a free personal consultation, and you'll be treated with respect and dignity. Andrew and Olivia will give you honest advice while seeking a way forward financially for you and your family. The Kassab family is a strong supporter of Ave Maria Radio, and you can trust them during these tough financial times to represent you. Call Andrew and Olivia at 1-888-DEBT-1-911. That's 1-888-DEBT-1-911. Or go to WDEO.net and click on the advertising link.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
It's a Friday morning. Janet Marana, the Executive Director of Priests for Life and also the co-founder of the Silent Lemoore Awareness Campaign, joining us. And she was on Life on the Rock last night on EWTN. It's going to be repeated tonight, right, Janet?
Yeah, tonight. Actually, it's repeating right now, but we don't want anyone
leaving our interview.
No, do not leave our
interview. Well, put on the monitor and keep us on at the same time.
Multitask. No, they can watch it tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It's a great show. Doug Barry and Father Mark interviewed myself, Jackie Stolnecker, who's our regional coordinator for Alabama, and Mary Kaminsky, who's our regional coordinator over in New Jersey. These ladies told their testimonies that were very powerful. And the one thing that Doug really got into was about men, you know, and, you know, listen to what happened to these women, why they had their abortion. And guys, where were you? Where are you? Where are the men? Where are the fathers? Fathers protecting their daughters, you know. So a very strong component and call out, shout out to the men came through on the show. So tune in tonight, 8 o'clock, spread the word, tell your friends. A very, very powerful show talking about the campaign.
Now,
and talking about what?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, Andrew sent me a story on some numbers regarding abortions in New York, which is pretty depressing. But also,
pretty dismal. Yeah.
But there was a press conference with Archbishop Dolan, and he's trying to address this issue, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has. Matter of fact, the numbers are exactly 41% of all pregnancies in New York City, this is according to a 2009 statistics, 41% end in abortion, including 60% of those are African-American women's pregnancies. Now, that's pretty dismal. But the Archbishop, and this is the part here, this is the thing, Teresa, makes me crazy. Okay, the media, when they reported on this press conference, you know, in the newspapers today and out on the airwaves last night, they neglected to mention a very important piece of this press conference. The Archbishop repeated a promise that John Cardinal O'Connor always made when he was Archbishop, which is any woman who is pregnant and in need, no matter what you need, medical assistance, lawyers, legal help, place to stay, whatever your needs are, you can come to us, the pro-life movement, the Catholic Church, you can come to me personally, and we will make sure that you do not have to choose abortion. We'll give you everything you absolutely need. And guess what the media forgot to say? That part. Mm-hmm. Now, is that the most important part? It makes me crazy. So how come you're afraid to report that piece? Are you afraid that maybe the percentages of abortions might go down in New York?
Well, also, they want to portray the Catholic Church and other religious leaders who are pro-life
as being oppressive to women.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
They want to make these women have baby after baby after baby. Baby, and they don't want to help them, and these poor women, and this and this and that. Yeah. So here the Archbishop stood up once again saying any woman pregnant in need, and hello out there, media, why did it? You know, of course you hear the truth here on EWTN, thanks be to God, but it just makes me crazy, Teresa. You know, how many people listen to all that secular stuff here in the New York area, and not one person mm-hmm. heard the Archbishop's promise that any woman pregnant in need can come to the Catholic Church. So we've got to spread the word, ladies and gentlemen. You're in New York, you better make sure everyone knows that they can turn to the Church here in the Archdiocese, and they will get the help. And of course, as you know, we have the Sisters of Life here, who have, you know, maternity homes, and they do all kinds of great work with the women who are pregnant in need. So, but once again, disappointment, you know. With the
it's just, it's so frustrating, though, you know.
It really is. But we have the truth. And we go forward. And I heard you talking about the snow. Yeah, we got mm-hmm. clobbered, as you know, in that blizzard. As you know, I live in New Jersey now, but I work in Staten Island where our office is. And it was amazing. Like, my hometown, I mean, it was great. Metuchen cleared right away, you know. When I came to Staten Island, it was like, oh, my goodness. They're right. The reports you heard on TV are correct. The sanitation did not do a good job cleaning the streets here. And so many people, it took them days just to get their street clean and get out. So,
are you getting hit now? Because you guys are expecting another snowstorm.
Yeah, this one I think is going to turn out to be not so much. More, you know, a big fanfare now of, we're not going to make the mistakes we made with the last blizzard. Yeah, well, now it's like a dusting going on out there right now, and I don't think we're going to get too much. They're saying now 2 to 4 inches, which is a sneeze compared to what we had. I mean, the biggest problem with 2 weeks ago was we had 2 feet of snow and up to 5 feet of drifts in some areas. And that we really, you know, I mean, that's really what created the big brouhaha, you know. Anyhow, but I'm just excited, looking forward, though, to this is January, and I hope it doesn't snow when we go to Washington, Teresa.
I hope it's nice and warm like it was last year. Last year it was really nice, remember?
I know it was. Mm-hmm. So, and listen, I want to remind everybody, you know, if you're had an abortion and gone through healing and you want to come with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, whether in San Francisco for the Walk for Life on Saturday, January 22nd, or on Monday, January 24th for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., you can still register to be part of the group. You do not have to give your testimony. As you know, Teresa, some women just hold the sign, I regret my abortion. Some men just hold the sign, I regret less fatherhood. But isn't it powerful to be there among all those men and women? I mean, you've been there and interviewed us. You heard the stories. But isn't it a great experience?
Yeah, there's nothing like it. It just gives you that shot in the arm you need for another year of fighting, you know, the pro-life battle.
Exactly. So anyone who wants to join us, again, go to our website, priestoflife.org. There's a click there, the little butterfly for the Silent No More Awareness campaign, and you can fill out the join us form and tell us you want to be with us in D.C. We'd love to have you. Really would.
I saw the press release that you did, and Alvita was on with us on Wednesday talking about the MTV thing, no easy decision last night on Fox News with on the O'Reilly Factor. They did a little thing on it, too.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that on Fox News.
What did you think?
Well, you know, again, they never do, you know, the best job that they could do with mm-hmm. all this stuff, you know, and I just don't think they talk about the complications enough that can happen from an abortion.
Right.
I mean, and I think that's the part that I always find so distressful. They just focus on the social aspects of, you know, oh, her job, her school, her this, her that. It's a tough decision, yes, but, you know, you got to do it. I mean, besides the fact that you're killing a child, it's like we talk about having an abortion, you know, like it's just like going in and having a boil removed or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? People are just so like no big deal, move on thing. And as you know, we know it's not a no big deal. And, you know, I still remember, I think I told you this on the air last year when I was in the emergency room, that young Hispanic woman, I mean, it's seared in my mind listening in the next cubicle, her being told she had been at the abortion clinic that morning and was hemorrhaging, and now they were going to do possibly an emergency hysterectomy or maybe even a colostomy bag thing because of a nick bowel. This was from a safe, simple procedure, Teresa, mm-hmm. you know? Her mm-hmm. whole physical health is being affected, and that echoes in my ears. Like, and when they put on these shows about abortion and showing these young kids making these decisions, they don't talk about the fact that that child they abort may be the only child they'll ever have for the rest of their life because of the physical damage that could be done to them in the abortion. You know, it's like there should be these big warning signs, bing, bing, you know. And then, of course, we know the psychological damage. You know, some of these girls go on with suicidal tendencies and thoughts, depression. I mean, it just makes me crazy that we don't talk about what it's doing to these women and to our society and the fact that they're killing a baby. It's just, I don't know.
And again, you mentioned at the start of the interview this morning, Archbishop Nolan saying, come to us, we will help you. You know, we have facilities available. We have, you know, things we can do to help you in your decision in terms of when you decide, God willing, you decide to keep your baby, come to us, we'll help you out. That didn't come through either in the MTV.
No, it doesn't. And see, that's, you know, like there's 3,000 crisis pregnancy centers all over this country, Teresa. 3,000, you know, and there's only a little over 700 freestanding abortion clinics. How come they talk about the help, the church, the pro-life movement? When you think about these pregnancy centers, for the most part, we know they're supported by the Catholic Church and other non-denominational churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the backbone of the support for these pregnancy centers. And you don't hear a peep about that out there. You know, it really makes me crazy. It really does. And I think the media here in New York did not report Archbishop Dolan's promise because they still have bought into the concept that women need abortion.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that makes me crazy. It's this thing about it's a right, you know, it's something wonderful that women need to have this access to abortion. For goodness sakes, please read the testimonies. You know, these women, you read those stories, and you know, they're heartbreaking. And they did not have freedom of choice. Matter of fact, if you watch Life on the Rock tonight, Jackie Stolnicka's testimony, it's really powerful. But what she talks about is her boyfriend, who she had been dating for a year and a half, had a gun under the front seat of the car driving her to the clinic.
Oh,
And turned to her and told her, it's either either you have this abortion or I'm going to take care of you. It's like you or your baby. Can you imagine that? Oh, that was freedom of choice, you know? I mean, just, you know, and then when he dropped her off at the clinic, that was the last time she saw him. She never saw him ever again. That was it. Can you imagine that? This was a guy that, you know, she thought was going to, this was the man that she thought she was going to spend the rest of her life with. Gun under the seat and said, you either have this abortion or I'm going to kill you, and then drops her at the clinic, and that's the last she ever saw of the man ever again. I mean, come on.
But these are the stories that don't get out into the secular world that we need to keep talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and Mary Kaminsky's story, I mean, she actually had her abortion when she was 17, back in 1972. Okay, abortion was illegal in the whole country. It was illegal in New Jersey where she lived, and it was legal in New York because of Dr. Nathanson had founded the abortion clinics here. And Mary talks about the fact she went to the Planned Parenthood in New Jersey, and you know what they told her? Now, we're going to send you to a clinic in New York City. Now, don't tell them how old you are because they won't be able to do the abortion on you. Because you couldn't have an abortion if you were under 18 back then, okay? Mm-hmm. So they told her, lie, okay? Then she goes in for the abortion, and the doctor got furious with her, looked her right in the eye and said to her, I never want to see you in this clinic again. You make sure you take those pills that nurse gives you, and don't you ever come back here ever again. And she said at one point she was on the table crying and said, I want you to stop. And they told her, of course, they held her down. It's too late. You know, all this kind of stuff. And we don't hear about that. We just hear about it's choice. It's wonderful. You know, women need to have abortions. You know, what can I say, Teresa? It makes me crazy. And I just tell everybody, you know, do me a favor. Promote people watching that program tonight. Promote the testimonies. Spread the news. And, you know, when you hear stuff like this, you know, with Archbishop Dolan's promise, I'm telling everybody, this is what the Archbishop said. Could you do me a favor, everybody who's in New York? Could you write to your local papers and tell them what the Archbishop said, that it wasn't reported and you want people to know? Write letters to the editor, because that's how you get the word out. Letters to the editor. We can speak, and we should.
Well, I do think the good thing that came out last night was O'Reilly. I think he's coming along in terms of really challenging those two women, and in terms of he kept bringing up the quote-unquote safety issue, saying, you know, and where is the responsibility, and why don't we hear about this, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I thought it was a good discussion. He kept hammering home the point, even though he's still calls it a potential human being. He was he was talking about this issue that this whole idea of that it's just out there, girls can go get abortions, and nobody's talking about the responsibility involved in terms of providing them with the information and these girls making it. I thought it was a good discussion from his part.
Yeah, it was, and actually, like you said, he's come a long way. He has. I mean, a few years ago, you wouldn't even have heard that out of Bill O'Reilly. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pleased to see that he's beginning to kind of, you know, take a position of, well, hey, you know, we shouldn't be having all these abortions, and let's look at why.
And he I don't know if he realized it, but he said in the beginning when he was introducing the segment that it's never safe, he said, especially for the child, and then later on he said potential human being.
Yeah, I love what he said. We keep praying for the child.
So.
Keep praying for Bill. Pray for Bill O'Reilly.
Amen. All right, have a great weekend, Janet. We will talk to you next week. Coming up, Brian Gale, the latest of his books. He has three in a series that are coming out. This one is called Motherless, and he joins us up next.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
A good school provides a rounded education for the whole person. And a good Catholic school, over and above this, should help all its students to become saints. These recent words from Pope Benedict highlight the need for a strong Catholic education. Ave Maria is a new university in the Catholic tradition aspiring under grace to become a vital center of the new springtime of culture, anticipated by John Paul II for this millennium. Ave Maria University offers a liberal arts education with a broad moral and intellectual foundation. We don't just prepare you to take your place as a leader in this world. We prepare you to be saints. At Ave Maria University, we've attracted an extraordinarily gifted and dynamic faculty. Students learn not to just memorize material, but to understand it deeply, appropriate it, and apply it to their lives. Come to beautiful Southwest Florida to live, learn, and love our faith. We also welcome transfer students. More information at avemaria.edu.
It's good to have Brian Gale back on the program again. His latest book is called Motherless. Of course, Brian is the best-selling author, Catholic author. The first book that it came out in this series has got one more coming out, as Brian Patrick mentioned earlier. His first book was Fatherless, and the final one in the series, which it's about to go to editing, will be called Childless. But this morning we want to talk about the book Motherless with Brian Gale. And for more information on the books, you can go to, of course, the Human Life International website at hli.org, and we'll give you a little bit more details on that as well. Hey, Brian, Happy New Year. Good to be with you again.
Therese, always good to be with you. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
So you have been a busy boy writing books. I know it takes – I just finished another book, and I sent my manuscript in right before Christmas. And it really is just – it is a labor of love, isn't it?
It certainly is. What are you writing about this time?
Oh, I'm writing about women and the culture. It's kind of a female version of Noise. So we're looking at all the different areas that the culture attack women, abortion, contraception, messages from the media. So I go into great detail, including my testimony and also testimony of many women of all ages in terms of how they've come back. Or
that's an important
Catholic Church.
When's that going to be published?
Well, God willing, Ignatius, we're looking at publishing it sometime this year, so we'll let you know.
Yeah, I have five daughters. I'd love to get it to them.
Okay, all right. So tell us about this particular book.
Motherless picks up where Fatherless left off. We have three families and a now wonderful priest, John Sweeney. And the families are engaged, it turns out, in a different series of what we'll call moral dilemmas. And the heart and soul of them is the in vitro fertilization and the embryonic stem cell testing. And I could not have been more blessed with the timing of its release, given what happened in Phoenix with Bishop Olmsted.
Oh,
and that nun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the editorial in the Wall Street Journal about a week ago that said the next battleground between the Catholic Church and the culture is the Catholic hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the New York Times Sunday Magazine cover, Meet the Twiblings. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I was out of the country for about a week, so I missed some of that.
Astonishing. It was a story about a woman. She was 41 or 2, I think, and an author. And her tale, 8-9 pages, if you can believe it, in screening women to be egg donors and gestationists, if you will. And she wanted twins, so she had to screen two women to carry the eggs that her husband's sperm fertilized from a woman that she also screened to donate the eggs.
Ugh. It just gets crazier and crazier, doesn't it?
They call them twiblings because they are twins, but they were born of different women 5 days apart. same sperm, her husband's sperm, and she went through all the, you know, pains and sorrows and jealousies and all the rest of it. And I thought, what an emblematic moment for this culture of death. Here are the New York Times Sunday Magazine cover story is one of the primary examples of narcissism in this incredible generation of narcissists, so wanting not just one, but two, and acknowledging the possibility that all of these embryos that were created and did not materialize, so to speak, into actual children, post-uterine children, were of no consequence. And swallowing these whole, so to speak, and producing two out of countless, probably 40, 50, 60 of them, finally, after years, made her happy because this is what she wanted. She had always wanted twins, and after having her career, she discovered, she decided this was the time to do it. So this is something that leaps right off the pages of Motherless.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have made it up, except
well,
that
but
I
God's
did,
timing
and
is always perfect.
True.
Yeah, God's timing is always perfect. So obviously there was a reason that your book came out right now at this particular time. But see, the thing is, Brian, I know you addressed this in your first book, Fatherless, the fact that we have been so poorly catechized, and the teachings of the church in all of these areas make so much sense and actually are the best for us, and we can see the fallout from, you know, contraception, from abortion, from all these different things that you're talking about this morning. But to the average person, even let's say the average lay Catholic who isn't that well-versed in Catholicism, if they see a story like this, they say, oh, isn't this wonderful? Now this woman gets to have children, and why is this such a bad thing when she wants children so badly and wants to? You know what I'm saying in terms of how do we get this message out to the average person who has not been catechized to understand why the church is saying that this is not the way to go?
Well, you're trying. I'm trying. There are many, many wonderful men and women throughout America who are trying. But as the great Archbishop of Denver, Charles Chaput, said, there will be no renewal of America unless there's a renewal of the Catholic Church, and no renewal of the Catholic Church unless there's a renewal of the Catholic family, and no renewal of the Catholic family unless and until there is a bold proclamation of the gospel of life and love, the sacred truths regarding the transmission of human life. And so unless we catechize the next generation, unless there is a bold proclamation of the gospel of life and love, there can be no renewal, and we will slide from one age into another.
And that's exactly what's happening. But I think there are efforts. I do have a lot of hope. I was just speaking with our CEO and of Ave Maria Communications and also the host of Crest in the Afternoon, Al Cresta, yesterday, talking about in this country the opportunity we have now for Catholic evangelization. We've never seen anything like this before.
It is historic. John Paul II once famously said that he was convinced the Holy Spirit was more alive now. He was saying this in the 80s and 90s. Than ever before in humankind, precisely because the other spirit, his words, is more alive than ever before in humankind.
Let's put out the phone number if anyone has a question for Brian Gale, 877-573-7825. Now, are you able to get this out into the secular arena, Brian, in terms of this message from your books?
No clue. I have no idea how to do that. We are not able to do it. We are kind of isolated in the Catholic ghetto, as they say in the trade. There's about 300 Catholic bookstores of about 1,200 that carry it. Other than that, it's all word of mouth. People can get it at motherlessbook.com, and that's probably the best place to get it. Some get it at amazon.com, not as many. But the first book sold over 20,000 copies in a little over a year through word of mouth. And we're very, very grateful for that. But, you know, they're almost all Catholics, and it's all part of the choir. And as you know, there's some 60 million Catholics in America today. We can't seem to find a way to break out of our little ghetto, and I use that phrase in a very benign sense. We are in 20 countries, however, with Fatherless, and the hope is that Motherless would duplicate that.
I do think, though, and people say, oh, well, you know, you're on Catholic radio, you're preaching to the choir, but you know what? Even the choir needs practice, and we all need fine-tuning. So I don't think that is a negative, and I find that people will just stumble upon Catholic radio. We hear testimonies every single day
about the impact that Catholic media are having. So we are, in one sense, preaching to the choir. But again, you know, if the choir is going to be its best, then we
have
to
practice. Well, you know, Teresa, you make a wonderful point. I've been asked this question before, and I say that I think in this moment, 2010, 11, as we speak, it's really about the formation and fortification of the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
We are clearly exiting one age, and I think we are headed to this new springtime that John Paul II talks so much about, this glorious new springtime, a triumph of the two hearts. And I think a remnant will be required to get the church there. And I think it is, to your very good point, a question of the fortification as well as the formation of that remnant. So my focus has always been on the next generation, not ours. I think ours dialed out about a generation or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Why were you compelled to write these books? What prompted it?
I had three daughters in three successive years go to three different parishes for pre-Cana. I asked each, my wife and I did, the same two questions. Did they tell you about the dangers of contraception and what it does to marriages and to love? No. Did they tell you about the wonders of NAPRO technology, natural family planning, and how it's about 98% effective for spacing and 95% effective for conception after six cycles? No. And this is in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the Revelation 3 Church that had always been faithful. And I thought, if this is happening to our children in this archdiocese, I can only imagine what's happening to the children of my contemporaries in other archdioceses and dioceses. And so I sat down to write what I thought would be a single book and called it Fatherless, as one of the characters in the book says, to a priest who is treading very softly and politically correctly on hard sayings. He says, you know, Father, if you don't trust us with the truth, in a very real sense, you're leaving us spiritually fatherless. Mm-hmm. And in a culture like this, that makes us roadkill. But then I heard in one of the interviews I did, I heard myself say that it was the first of a trilogy. And I was astonished.
Where did that come from?
Absolutely astonished to hear that come out. And then I just sat down. The reaction to the first book was so strong, I sat down to write a sequel. And it turned out that there was a third volume in this story, which, again, unbeknownst to me, I started August 15 and finished at Christmas. So it turns out that there is a intergenerational tale of the consequence of the lack of tension between the Catholic Church in our time and the spirit of the age, the culture. Mm-hmm. And that lack of tension is what has hollowed us out. And that's why all of us, your listeners included, when we look at the TV or read the newspapers and whatnot, we just can't imagine what's going on. We can't believe that we're so bereft of moral reserve and energy that we can't challenge this death sentence that we've mounted above our heads. So I wanted to tell the story about how that happened, how it happened in the midst of mourning in America in the 80s, continue through our period, twilight in America, and how it will continue, unfortunately, through midnight in America. And the final volume is set in the 2020s.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit was speaking through you at that point when you said trilogy. Sometimes isn't it amazing when you're speaking? I know this happens to me. If things come out of your mouth, you're like, okay, where did that come from? I didn't plan on saying that. You know?
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right, we have lots of calls coming in. Let's take a quick break. It's 43 minutes past the hour. We're talking with author Brian Gale. His latest book, Motherless, we'll tell you how to get it when we come back. We have Barbara from Arkansas on line 2, Kathy from Oklahoma on line 1, and more calls coming in. 877-573-7825. It's a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Sienna, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Sienna is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Sienna, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity, to date over $1 million. Sienna uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Sienna customers on most plans.
With Sienna, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-SIENNA or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Do I support abortion or don't I? I could do nothing about my investments, or I could take control of them. Have the team at Faith Investment Services evaluate your investments from a moral perspective, as well as performance. Their area of expertise lies in biblical finance. Their advice has helped many clients remain calm during rocky times, as well as feel good about their investments. Recommendations are screened through the prism of moral principles, so their clients' investments are free from companies that support abortion, homosexuality, and pornography. This is an excellent time to examine your investments with Faith Investment Services. Call them today and get morally directed investment advice. Dial 1-800-529-9434. That's 1-800-529-9434 or visit faithinvestmentservices.com. Securities offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Faith Investment Services is not an affiliate of Next Financial Group Incorporated. 48380 Van Dyke, number 100, Shelby Township, Michigan, 48317.
(877) 573-7825, talking with author Brian Gale, the latest of his books. The first one was Fatherless. This one is Motherless. It's part of a trilogy. He's finishing up Childless, which will be going into the editing process, and not sure when it's going to be published, but we'll keep you posted. Barbara, the first one to call in this morning from Arkansas. What's your question for Brian Gale this morning? Thanks for calling.
Good morning. My question is, I have a Kindle, and I downloaded Fatherless onto my Kindle, so I was able to read it that way, and I just finished it last night, so I immediately looked to download Motherless, but it was not available that way. Do you know if it will be, or?
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for reading Fatherless. I hope you liked it. As far as Kindle, I've been told that they're working on trying to get Motherless on Kindle and on some of the dot-coms like Borders and Barnes & Noble. So I wish I could tell you, Barbara, definitively, you know, when it will happen, but I can't.
Okay. Well, it's just so
get it from motherless.com. If you go right to the website, motherless.com, motherlessbook.com, excuse me, I speak in error, motherlessbook.com. I know you can get it there very easily and quickly.
Okay. Well, I'm passing this information on to all my friends because now I've read it, and I really want to discuss it with some other people, and so I've got to get them to read it so we can talk about it. There's just so much in there to discuss, you know. It's wonderful. I mean, it's I'm a pre-Vatican II person, and it's just, you know, very interesting.
Well, God love you. There's a lot of post-Vatican II people who apparently like it very much, and there's a lot of post-Vatican II, whatever that means, maybe pre-Vatican III people who seem to like it very much as well. But I'm very grateful. I'm always grateful when I hear from a reader, and I thank you for that, Barbara.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Go ahead. Do you have another question?
I was just going to say, I told our we have a young parish priest now. He's 26, extremely spiritual, a wonderful person. And I told him about it the other day, and he said, oh, okay, now tell me some more because I want to get that book. So, yay.
Good for that. Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate it. We
all
have
right.
Full lines.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go to Ann calling from Virginia. Ann calling from Virginia on line 3 this morning. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I'm going to ask the doctor a question that I have not heard since Roe versus Wade, that had they not decided in the Supreme Court, I have two questions, that life begins at conception, and why isn't that getting used? And my main concern is incest. How are we ever going to know who these children really are?
It's a very good point. We won't know, and that's the point. We will not know. And as we and your question inclines toward you know, the broader theme of where the culture of death is heading with the transcendent primordial privilege of co-creating life with our Creator, and that is you know, man creating man in his own image and likeness. We are, you know, 20 to 30 to 40 at the outset years away, according to the patriarchs of this movement, this transhuman movement, from actually creating life in a laboratory that will be part mainframe computer and part what they call biological intelligence. They refer to it as intelligence. That's what we are to them. We're just intelligence, either limited or, in our case, severely restricted. But once the fusion takes place, the singularity between mapping the neural regions of the mind and the brain, and they are able to upload, so to speak, and that's the word they actually use, upload artificial intelligence, we'll be able to have the cognitive capability of a mainframe computer. And then they'll start to upload any of the sensory pleasures and experiences that we desire. All those packages will be available. This is where they're going.
Well, there was
a
story.
That's the ultimate sin.
And there was a story, and Brian, there's a story a couple, I think it was last year we talked about this, and I believe it was either on LifeSiteNews.com, and it also made some of the secular media circles, about how concerned when these kids who were conceived through a donation from a sperm bank, for example, when these young people are growing up now, many of them, and they're very reluctant to enter into relationships because they don't know if they're entering into, as Ann pointed out, possibly an incestuous relationship.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Peter Kreft once famously said that truth is a symphony. And isn't the opposite as true as well, that the lie is a cacophony?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the antecedent, consequent problems and questions and complexities. And to Anne's point, archetypical sins that are involved once you start sliding down the slippery slope, mm-hmm. especially when you're dealing with this issue of life and its creation.
Yeah. Ann, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go down to Louisiana. Charles on line 4 has a question. Hi, Charles. Good morning.
Morning. Just a question or thought. As a couple that is a friend of ours has went through this and went to a priest, and his statement was that we have the most educated Catholic population since the beginning of time. And he just felt if this was a good Catholic couple, they were raising this child Catholic. I mean, there was never a negative to it, and or don't do it. Just wondering your thoughts on that, and how do you associate with that? The couple's a good couple.
Are you talking about, was it in vitro fertilization?
Saying we are the most educated generation. Let's see if we can specify that. Bill Clinton, Georgetown and Oxford, I submit to you, was better educated than Ronald Reagan, Eureka College, somewhere out in the Midwest. But who had more wisdom? The difference between education and wisdom is simply grace. We may, in fact, be the most well-educated generation of all 12 or 13 generations of Americans. But do we allow the grace, the love of the Trinity among the three persons to guide our choices and decisions? Clearly, the headlines and the evening news tell us no. So there is no correlation between education and wisdom. Wish that there was, but there isn't. So clearly, man's hubris and arrogance in believing that his own education places him at the center of creation, as opposed to where God has placed it at the pinnacle, has caused it to redound unto his own detriment and destruction. It's the education that's the problem, and it's the lack of wisdom that's the wisdom is the solution, and we can only find that, as Jean Paul II said, in Christ.
Right. Right. And the education, Brian, is you can have an education, you can have a medical degree, you can have a PhD, I don't care what you have a degree in, but unless you're educated in the faith, and I'm not necessarily talking about degrees, I'm talking about study, I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about discernment, I'm talking about spiritual direction. I mean, Charles, this couple may be educated in terms of having college degrees in their, chosen fields, but the majority of Catholics out there are highly illiterate, not only biblically illiterate, but they know nothing about the catechism. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I speak and I mention documents, and people look at me with these big eyes like, well, what are you talking about? They've never picked up an encyclical, never read a papal letter. I mean, this doesn't mean education is a word, I think, that is tossed around. And what was this priest talking about in terms of educated? Just because people go to college nowadays, most of the people in this country, I just don't buy it. The rate of illiteracy in terms of understanding the Catholic faith, especially, Brian, we saw this with this ridiculous spin that the media took on the Holy Father's comments, regarding condoms. I mean, that was just a whole, that to me highlighted how poorly catechized we are in this country. I'm not talking about members of our audience, because there were only one or two people who contacted me and thought that the Pope was actually changing the teaching on contraception. Most of our audience got it and understood it. You know, it's a different group to whom we're speaking. But in terms of the general public and the media, their illiteracy in thinking that there could be a change, first of all, which there couldn't be, and thinking that a change would come in an interview with a journalist.
Well, exactly. And I think the Immaculate, God love her, as she did, the Holy Spirit, her spouse, speaking through her, directs itself to Charles's question too. She said at one point, Charles, you know, what you have, God love you, what you have revealed, what you have hidden from the wise and the powerful, the elite, so to speak, mm-hmm. You have revealed to the merest children. And what she was saying in the Magnificat is, it's not about education, it's about openness.
Mm-hmm.
Stirring of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom only comes through the Holy Spirit, not through textbooks and Marxist and socialist professors and Western universities.
Right. I mean, look at some of the people who are quote unquote educated and what they're doing not only to the country but to the world. You know, it's so that word I think is tossed around all the time. So, Brian, in terms of the book, how do we get it? We have about a minute left.
Motherlessbook.com is the best way to get it, Teresa. And thank you so much for having me on. It's always such a pleasure to be on your show. You do just such a wonderful job, and I always love talking to your listeners. They're always so well informed.
Well, it just goes so fast, though. We had John for half an hour, and boom, the time flies. You know, so we'll have to have you back on. I really think, though, that this whole topic, and I know that it's frustrating sometimes, and we want to get out beyond the cap, but I think we are. I just don't think we know it yet. I think there's a potential out there. I think we are reaching people, and I know just from the emails that we get alone, just from this program, that we're making a difference. So,
thank you. Are the question you asked me was, how do we get fatherless, motherless, and what will soon be childless out of the Catholic bookstore and into, or at least that's how I interpreted the question, into the Barnes and Nobles,
mm-hmm.
And Borders, where more Catholics can get it, and non-Catholic Christians who have eyes to see and ears to hear can also get it. And that's the question I was answering. I don't have a clue how to do that.
Well, we just keep asking for the intercession of the Holy Spirit and that God will take this and put it in bigger and bigger audiences. You never know who might be listening right now, Brian. God bless you. Have a great weekend and a happy new year. We'll talk to you on Monday with Dr. Meg Meeker and Monsignor Robert Sarnow to learn more about the causes of the saints. See you then.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. The Life Process Model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible by our day sponsor. To celebrate the 40th wedding anniversary of Mike and Sandy Weathers, who remind us that it is important for children to know that their parents love each other. It is by this love that children learn that they are safe, protected, and loved.
You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
This week on our program, Father Ricardo continues his examination of the scriptural basis for the sacrament of marriage.